So that presentation was a good segue into my topic, or that question rather, was a good segue into my topic, which is related to the making of healthcare decisions for adults living with serious mental illness. My name is Liz Science. I'm a PhD candidate at the USC School of Social Work. I have no disclosures to report. This research was supported by a TL1 predoctoral training fellowship, also by the Southern California Clinical Translational Science Institute, and I'd also like to acknowledge the Health Services Research Center at UC San Diego, who coordinated this data collection effort. So people living with serious mental illness, which includes such mental disorders as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, major depression, among others, have an elevated risk of early mortality, resulting from an increased burden of chronic care conditions such as diabetes and hypertension. And this increased risk for these chronic diseases is exacerbated by limited access to high-quality primary and preventive health care. This limited access results from fragmentation of primary care and mental health care services, general barriers related to low socioeconomic status of mental health consumers, and then also just sort of broad general stigma of mental illness, both just sort of general and within the healthcare, mental health care establishment sort of generally. So to reduce these barriers to accessing care, this is something that has been prioritized by the Affordable Care Act, which authorized SAMHSA $50 million to provide co-location grants, whereby community health clinics or community mental health clinics and health clinics could deliver integrated primary care and mental health care services. In the state of California, this is also being prioritized, or has been prioritized by the Mental Health Services Act as well, which has delivered funds to counties around California to deliver integrated care. But what we don't know about delivering these service innovations is how mental health service systems can make these primary care services and other wellness services most accessible to mental health consumers. So the four-quadrant clinical integration model can provide a conceptual framework when planning these types of services. And so while this sort of convoluted-looking graph up here, I mean, what it suggests is that people that have high mental health needs are most likely, and maybe perhaps it's most accessible, to deliver these physical health and wellness services in mental health settings. Now, when there are both high physical health needs and high mental health needs, these should also be delivered in conjunction with various medical specialists, perhaps a nurse care manager. And then I'd also suggest that with lower mental health needs, these services, integrated services, are most effectively delivered and most accessible in primary care-based settings with the support of care managers or in conjunction with other medical specialists. And so this study asks the following sort of research questions: whether this four-quadrant model actually reflects the service-seeking preferences and patterns of mental health consumers. Can this really be used to guide the delivery of integrated care and other mental health service innovations? And then also, is illness severity associated with service use from specific healthcare settings? And so we had the following study hypotheses: that high physical health needs would be because these services are not yet integrated, sort of contrary to the four-quadrant model, high physical health needs will be associated with accessing care from primary care settings. High mental health needs will be associated with accessing physical health care from mental health settings, and this is what I meant to say earlier, the part that's contrary to the model, that high mental health needs and high physical health needs will be associated with accessing care from both types of providers because these services are not quite integrated yet in the state of California. It's just now underway. So to answer these questions and to test these study hypotheses, we use data from a large-scale assessment of client-reported outcomes in San Diego County's public mental health system. There were 128 participating mental health clinics, and in the end, there were 712 mental health consumers that completed the sort of a routine mental health and physical health care use screening. These data were collected during the summer of 2013, and the physical health questionnaire assessed for a range of healthcare conditions, and including diabetes, et cetera, which I'll get into in a moment. And also self-reported patterns of utilization of physical health services from various service settings. And this effort, as I mentioned, was coordinated by the UC San Diego Health Services Research Center. So in this study, our dependent variable was the service use location, which included a regular physical health provider, a mental health provider, a mental health and physical health provider, or neither type of provider. And the survey item asked, who do you contact when you have a non-emergency physical health problem? The independent variables were guided by the Anderson model. Predisposing factors included age, race, ethnicity, and gender. Enabling factors included insurance and self-rated emotional health. And need factors included physical health, indicators of physical health needs, such as the knowledge of having one or more chronic care conditions, such as diabetes, hypertension, and high cholesterol, or other chronic care conditions. And then also the use of emergency room services for non-emergency health concerns, as well as self-rated physical health. We conducted univariate analyses to test for differences between service use categories. We conducted bivariate analyses to test for associations between independent and dependent variables. And then to really test our hypotheses, we use a multinomial logistic regression to test the association between all of those consumer level factors and those four healthcare decision-making outcomes, which were accessing care from physical health doctor, from mental health doctor, from both physical and mental health, or from neither. So the predisposing factors, the sample was majority white, majority male, average age was 42. 29% were uninsured, so this was in 2013. This could look different now, if the data were collected now. Over half had poor self-rated emotional health. About half the sample had one or more chronic care conditions and poor self-rated physical health. About 30% had another chronic care condition that required regular care. About 30% also used the emergency room services for non-emergency physical health needs. And then over half reported poor self-rated physical health, and that's meant to say poor self-rated emotional health. And then for the dependent variable, 14% reported mental health provider, about 30% reported physical health provider, 30% also reported that they access services from both types of providers, and then there were 21% that reported they would access care from neither type of provider for their non-emergency physical health concerns. So individuals who selected their regular physical health doctor were the oldest among groups, were the most likely to have one or more chronic care conditions, and were the least likely to use emergency room services for their physical health needs. Individuals who selected both had the highest proportion of females, most likely to have insurance, and were also most likely to have other chronic care conditions. And individuals who selected neither type of service option had the highest proportion of poor self-rated emotional health. So these are the multivariate results. I'll guide you through these right now. So age was associated with increased likelihood of accessing care from the physical health provider and from both types of providers, as was having insurance, whereas having fair or poor self-rated emotional health was associated with decreased likelihood of accessing care from any of the service options, as was, using ER for non-emergency needs was associated with decreased likelihood of accessing care from physical health provider and from both types of providers. Having chronic care conditions increased likelihood of those two outcomes. And having another chronic condition that required regular care increased odds of accessing care from both types of service settings. So in this study, we received partial support for our study hypotheses. So chronic care conditions were associated, having one or more chronic care conditions was associated with accessing care from a primary care provider. And so what this suggests is there is a need for training the primary care professionals in the healthcare needs of people living with serious mental illness and in the sort of how to work in a way that's sensitive and competent with mental health consumers. Use of emergency services for non-emergency healthcare needs, it decreased odds of accessing a primary health provider. And so this suggests an unmet need for physical health, for their physical health concerns among people in this group. It also suggests that ER use is perhaps not the best proxy for physical health needs because it means they're getting care from somewhere else. So our second hypothesis was that mental health needs would be associated with getting care for their physical health needs from a mental health setting, or at least seeking out care there first. And so this actually decreased odds of accessing care, having poorly rated mental health. So even among mental health consumers who are engaged in the system, or else they wouldn't be in this study, they were less likely to seek out care for their physical health concerns from their mental health providers, or from anyone really, which suggests that this people with really poorly, mental health consumers with very poorly rated emotional health do require some degree of targeted outreach to engage them into care. So materials could be delivered in their mental health settings that promote the idea of wellness. This mental health settings could be an ideal place for different types of wellness activities. And our third hypothesis was that high mental health needs and high physical health needs would be associated with accessing care from both types of settings because care in San Diego at this time was not, they were not delivering integrated care. And so having chronic care conditions, so people with chronic care conditions were more likely to access care from both types of settings. And so what this suggests is that it is very important for people from service providers working in both types of settings to be in close communication with one another. This is where a lot of people's cases and files can sort of get lost between the cracks. And so this is really an important opportunity for people to collaborate and talk with one another. And as I said, low satisfaction with emotional health did in this study present show that there are barriers to even those engaged in the service system to accessing physical health care. So these findings should be taken in light with some limitations. These are self-reported outcomes, which means that there are not objective verifications of results. So we don't actually know if everyone in the sample that has diabetes, et cetera, has diabetes, and the people might have diabetes or other chronic care conditions that don't know that they have it. The data is cross-sectional. And then also, because this is these findings might be specific to a service delivery system that resembles San Diego County. This is a very large and diverse system, but it might not be applicable to, for example, a rural healthcare setting. So to wrap up with some implications and conclusions, so mental health consumers access different sources of care for their mental health, for their physical health concerns. The four quadrant model, this is a useful model, and I think it should be used, and this actually will likely be more useful as services do become more integrated, and you will then be able to see if it will become more testable in a setting, in a service system where the services are already being delivered in a way that's integrated. So I think another key finding was that the consumers with fair and poor self-rated emotional health do require targeted outreach. Peer health navigators is one. It's been shown to be one effective way to engage people in different systems of care. This could also be used to reduce ER use, which in this sample we found there was a substantial amount of. And then finally, consumers in these service settings would very likely benefit from structured linkages between primary care settings and mental health settings. And with that, I will end there. Any questions?